Welcome to the fourth lesson of the Rooted and Built Up Discipleship Program of Bible Baptist Church. The main objective of the Christian is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ by the life we live. The Apostle Peter even illustrated how new converts grow in the Lord, saying, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." The question is one of the greatest tools assisting our understanding as we begin to grow. It is by asking questions that we begin to comprehend doctrinal truths. The question we hope to answer clearly in this lesson is concerning faith. What is faith? Please open your King James Bible to the Epistle to the Galatians. The book of Galatians is the ninth book in order found in the New Testament division of the Bible. In the third chapter of the book, we will begin our reading with verse 22 and continue through verse 26. There we read, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are truly filled with gratitude for the Bible you have graciously inspired and so perfectly preserved. It is a relief to know, Father, that whatever be the question, your word provides the answer. I ask you at this moment your blessing upon these brief minutes we have set aside for study of eternal things. Holy Spirit, fill my mouth with truth and those who will hear these words with the willingness to receive them. And we'll be ever mindful to praise you for all we see you do. It is in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. The Bible definition of our topic in this lesson is found in Hebrews 11:1, which also serves as a theme verse for this outline. And it would be wise of every believer to commit this particular verse to memory. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Ever since the day that man sinned in the Garden of Eden, every generation has inherited the curse of sin. We have no choice in how we are born, to whom we are born, or in what we are born. Committing iniquity is as natural as breathing for mankind. Although we are born in sin as infants, we also come equipped with the measure of faith, which is referred to in Romans 12, verse 3. But this faith means more than just the character possessed by an individual who can be relied upon. In other words, fidelity of a person. The faith referred to in the Bible carries with it the meaning of being totally convinced of the truth of a thing. Faith, you might say, is the confidence we place in things we cannot see, but we expect will come to pass just as God's word declares. It has been said that faith is the soul's taster. Faith is the mouth of the soul, which not only tasteth but cheweth the promises and manifestations of God to his people, and so makes meat of them. Every human being exercises faith on a daily basis. Maybe without even realizing it, faith is as huge a piece to life's puzzle. It is intended to fit perfectly into one's person, into one person. That person is Jesus Christ. Placing faith in anything or anyone else will make a truly an awkward fit. In this lesson, we need to investigate then closely the important question, what is faith? Let us investigate three main thoughts concerning faith, and then we'll conclude. First, we see the validity of faith. The term validity simply means the strength or force required to convince. It means the quality of a thing which renders it supportable, conclusive, authentic, or logical. So in the validity of faith, we find in letter A, faith is a real substance. Our memory verse in Hebrews 11, the first part of verse number 1, the Bible declares faith to be real by defining it as the substance of things hoped for. Now, faith is a real substance. The word substance in this verse holds the same meaning as our word guarantee or assurance. Faith is the support or the foundation of every spiritual truth we confidently trust will one day come to pass. Although it is not a substance man can be perceiving by the touch, it is certainly a genuine belief that man can witness in the lives of others or experience even in his own life. Faith, although intangible, is just as real as love is real, as mercy can be seen, as grace is bestowed, or as joy is experienced. As every human being has the ability to possess each one of these emotions, so everyone possesses the substance of faith. Faith is the grounds upon which every truth of the Bible can be laid. Faith is the confidence brought unto man by the Word of God. Romans 10:17 tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith is valid. It is authentic. It's logical to believe in such a thing called faith, for it is a substance. But also the Bible tells us, letter B, faith is an honest evidence. Not only is it a real substance, but it is an honest evidence. In Hebrews 11:1, the Bible teaches that faith is a genuine proof, calling it the evidence of things not seen. Man may criticize faith as being contrary to reason, but the Bible declares faith to be supported by the proof which makes a thing a fact. Where the eyes cannot see and the mind is shut out, faith has perfect 20/20 vision and understands the unseen. The mind generally accepts what has been received by the eye of the body. But what if the body's eyes have never seen the Grand Canyon? Or what if the body's eyes have never seen the Pacific Ocean? Do they not exist until we have seen them with our own eyes? A man who has never seen Niagara Falls believes that there is such a place due to the numerous testimonies concerning its reality. His belief in places he has yet to see is based upon what he has heard and what he has read, and it serves him as a rational proof of their existence. Likewise, the person who believes what God has said in the Bible regarding Jesus, regarding heaven, regarding hell or angels or even eternity beyond the grave, has had his mind satisfied by the evidence that God has revealed to him on these subjects. He needs not to see with his eyes of the body, for the eyes of his soul have accepted truth on faith. We see in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 16, these words, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And how do we have the mind of Christ? Because of faith. We have that substance. It's a real substance. We have an honest evidence, and there shows us the validity of faith. But consider this illustration. As children, we remember how we felt when our birthday came around. We were anxiously anticipating its arrival, for the hope we had in receiving cake and ice cream and maybe gifts and cards from loved ones. Birthdays and other special holidays each year combine assurance with anticipation. For what, when we know what to expect, we desire its arrival all the more. When we expect to receive birthday presents, we anticipate the birthday's arrival. Faith is the confidence based on what God has told us in the Bible will one day come to pass. When we believe God will perform every promise He's given, even when we cannot see how, we trust Him anyway. In John 20, verses 24 through 31, there was a certain man whose name was Thomas. And the Bible says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. This is regarding the third day when Jesus had already risen, and they've gone to the empty tomb, and Jesus had appeared to them without Thomas being there. The Bible says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You see, we believe the things that are in the Bible, and we accept them based upon faith. So faith, we've seen, is valid. It is logical. It's authentic. And how is it authenticated? Because it's a real substance. It is an honest evidence. But also, we must look at a second point, and that is the value of faith. So Romans 2, the value of faith. The term value simply means the properties of a thing which render it useful. It also means the power or the capacity of something to procure or produce good. That's the value of faith. Letter A, faith is valuable only as it is exercised. Faith is only valuable as it connects us with God and His Word. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It is the deception of Satan to get mankind so occupied with examining faith that he neglects exercising faith. One preacher has said, nothing is more disastrous than to study faith, analyze faith, make noble resolves of faith, but never actually make the leap of faith. All men are lost until they utilize their faith to trust Christ as their Savior. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 4:10, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. So Christ cannot become your Savior until you take that faith that you believe exists, that you can know its substance and experience the evidence there and place it upon Christ. Again, in 2 Timothy 1:12, we read, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So we find there concerning the value of faith that it's only valuable as it is exercised. But letter B, faith is valuable only as it is enlarged. Who can place a price tag on a child? No price can be set upon the value of a child, for as the child begins to grow, so does his capacity for learning and working. The tiny corn of wheat seems of little worth until it has been planted and begins to grow. Jesus said in John 12:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." It is then that the potential for feeding many people is realized when the wheat begins to grow. When once a lost sinner has placed that commodity of faith upon the Lord Jesus, he becomes saved. We find the answer to the question, how can one be saved, in Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." But as a person grows in Christ, his faith is increased. In Luke 17, verse 5 through 6, the Bible tells us, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted into the sea, and it should obey you." You see, faith is as a suit of clothes that grows with the child from infancy to maturity. So faith is valuable as it is exercised. Faith is valuable only as it is enlarged. But letter C, faith is valuable only as it is expressed. The founder of the fast food restaurant Wendy's, Dave Thomas, once said, "Live your faith. Don't wear it on your sleeve. Roll up both sleeves and do something about it." And I like that statement. If our faith is not shared with those who have yet to exercise or increase their faith in Christ, then do we demonstrate how little our faith means to us? If we're not sharing that faith, when we share our faith with others, we declare our confidence in what God has done for us, He can do for others as well. Rightly has it been said that there is no great future for any people whose faith has burned out. Christ Jesus even asked in Luke 18:8, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Paul wrote in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please him. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So as we've learned thus far, the validity of faith is seen that it's a substance. It is evidenced. And also the value of faith. It's valuable only as it is exercised. It's valuable only as it is enlarged. It's valuable only as it is expressed. But our third main head in this lesson is the victory of faith. Letter A, faith brings victory over the law. We have read in our text verses for this outline in Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 through 25, the Bible teaches that there is a relationship between the law and faith. But that before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The law teaches us what we have done against God to become separated from Him. And we all are born with that nature of sin and understanding that we are sinners. We see clearly in Romans 3, verse 20 through 23, this: "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So the law, it tells us what we have done has been wrong. And by keeping that knowledge of the law, there's no way that we could be sinned or we could be saved. In the fifth chapter of Romans, in verse 20, the Bible says, "Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound," that we might know that we're sinners. "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Again, in Romans 7:7, we find, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. Paul instructed Timothy in his first letter, chapter 1 and verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. So the law came just to express to us that we are absence of salvation, for we are sinners. Faith brings victory, though, over that law. Knowing that we are under God's wrath due to our sinful actions against His law brings defeat. However, victory that faith teaches us, what we have done against God can be forgiven by Jesus Christ. Acts 13:39 tells us, And by Him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Romans 5:1 also reminds us, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a victory that faith brings, and it's over the law in letter A. But letter B, faith bears victory of new life. Again, in our text in Galatians 3, we find in verse 22, But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. There's our defeat. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Then in verse 26 we read, For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So the victory that faith brings is the victory over the law. But the victory that faith bears is victory in providing a new life. The law brings us to Christ, and we clearly see our sins have been paid for by His death. In Galatians 3:13, we learn Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Faith steps up and bids us take Christ. The moment we receive Jesus by faith, we are born again into God's family and are given new life. We see this truth evident from 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In 1 John 5:4, we see, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Oh, what validity is there in faith. What value of faith and what victory that faith brings and bears in our lives. Let us conclude this lesson by saying these words. Faith is choosing to trust God and take Him at His word, having not seen, yet believing that one day we will see it. Hebrews 11:13 informs us of the Old Testament saints who believed God, never having seen the fulfillment of His promises, but knowing that one day they would. The Bible says, These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Faith rests not in the feelings of man, but in the fact of God's word. By faith, we anticipate with joy the fulfillment of every promise of God. 1 Peter 1:8 says, Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The faith that we speak of in this lesson has been measured out to every man according to Romans 12:3. This particular specific amount of faith is all that is required to be placed upon Jesus to possess so rich and eternal of a salvation. One has wisely stated, Little faith will take a soul to heaven, but great faith brings heaven to a soul. If you have yet to place your faith in Christ, will you at this moment bow your head and ask Christ to forgive you of your sins and become your personal Savior? And if maybe you are listening to these words and you are saved today, will you allow Christ to increase your faith daily and develop a deeper relationship with Him? Unless there is within us that which is above us, we shall soon yield to that which is about us. Shall we pray? Father, bless these words to our hearts. May You use us daily as we grow in Your word. Through our understanding of these lessons, may others be reached for Thy sake. And we'll be mindful to thank you for everything you do in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.